Well, when Pastor Jenke stopped there and changed that song, I didn't know what in the world was going on. I thought maybe he had decided to sing a solo. Solo, we couldn't hear him, amen? When he was a teenager, I understand, in high school, he used to sing classics. Every time he sang, the whole class got sick. And I'm not going to take much time right now. I'm going to take about a whole minute to, I can't thank everybody, but I want to, well, I will right now thank everybody that is here tonight and pass this on to those who have come beginning on Sunday morning to one or many of the services, any of the services, I should say. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love and your respect for longer sermons than what you were used to. My wife has said I'm a long-winded preacher, and I'll never, ever be able to curb that down, although I am working on it. Been working on it for a long time, but one of these days, maybe I'll get it perfected. I want to thank you for the warmness that I felt the very instant that I walked into this church on Sunday morning. I feel like I'm part of your family here now, and we're all together in the body of Christ with the bond of the blood, but I just feel a special part of this church here in Garfield, New Jersey now. I give a thanks to Danielle for quickly practicing on that marvelous keyboard and piano she does such a marvelous job on. We just threw that, we go through it one time, didn't we, basically? And then I had public address system turned up just a little bit on that microphone so it would work up to par a little bit. And I tell you what, I don't know how good that sounded, but I meant every word of that. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Are you glad to be here tonight? If you are, say amen. I'm glad that when I come to the holy desk in any church across our great land, that I never have to come here alone. I would be literally scared to death of coming to this pulpit if I had to do a message in my own power. I would quit, and I would quit as of many, many years ago. We all have one of those days, but today, since opening my eyes, and I really got a good night's sleep, but when I opened my eyes this morning, I knew it was going to be one of those days. And I called the best counselor that I know up, Susie, my wife, back in Frewsburg, and got a little counseling on the phone, and then I started to bang away on my keyboard, and it's kind of been one thing right after another, and I'm not going to go into all that. It's not important, but I'll tell you something. God is faithful. David said in Psalm 42:1, as the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And God knew what I was capable of today and what I was not capable of. He knew what I really wanted to do. He also knew more than anybody in the planet or the universe my limitations. And I gave it all to him, and I said, Lord, now however this comes out tonight, it comes out. But as I come to the pulpit tonight, I think of a couple scriptures, and one is Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says this, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The promise of my Savior tonight is, my word will not return void. It'll prosper in the thing I sent it to prosper in. And it will accomplish in the hearts that are here tonight in the pews what I want it to accomplish. And God bless you for coming. You're going to get a blessing tonight because my preaching is super great, but because the word of God is so great. Amen. In John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then I told you the capsule of Dave Mizell's ministry, and I'll quote it again tonight because it comes to mind, 1 Peter 4:11. Oh, I love this. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we want him to have all the honor and the glory tonight. All right? Would you please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verses 16 and 17. Probably two very familiar verses of Scripture to you, Paul, to that young pastor Timothy, but the application goes farther than that. It goes all the way up to January of 2007 to the people of Community Baptist Church and this preacher from Frewsburg, New York. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. The title of my sermon tonight to you is simply The Supernatural Book. The Supernatural Book. And this book, of course, that is supernatural, is speaking about the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. There's no other book like it in the world. There never will be again. And it's amazing tonight what we take for granted in this country. We've got study Bibles, reference Bibles, analytical Bibles, annotated Bibles, Sony Bibles, family Bibles, Rice reference Bibles, Ryrie Bibles, on and on it goes. We are Bible to death, to use an old phrase in this country, and I think we've taken a little bit for granted the wonderful freedoms and liberties that we have in this land. There are peoples in third countries of the world tonight that would give their left arm or their right leg to have just a couple of pages of the Gospel of John. And we've got all of these Bibles, and I wonder if we are really taking the Bible, the Word of God, for granted. The supernatural book. My mandate tonight is that we might get excited about serving the Lord in 2007. I'd like to pretend that I'm here on New Year's Eve, because I almost preached a sermon like this on New Year's Eve, but of all the meetings I started back in August, I was able to keep, and God bless mightily, but I had to cancel the New Year's Eve service, although as this one, it is being rebooked, amen? And so God is good. But to start the brand new year off, and it's not far from New Year's Eve, and they dropped a great big ball, I think, in Times Square, as I've seen on TV for many years. I didn't see it this year, but, you know, dropping a ball is one thing, and hooping and hollering and Happy New Year and getting drunk and being on drugs and dancing and rock and roll music and all the hoopla and everything, you know. I want 2007 to be something more than that, and as I preached Monday night, 2007 may just be the year we all go to heaven, amen? That wasn't on my notes. Thank you, Lord. That was pretty good. I don't know how original that is. Probably a lot of churches got that across their banners. 2007, maybe the year that we'll go to heaven. And I wanted to get you excited tonight, and the only way I think that we can really accomplish getting excited in 2007 to accomplish something for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to spend more time in the Word of God. When I preach this to you, God only knows I'm preaching it to myself. For years, I have asked God to make me real and to make me transparent. Many times, I'd like to think I've got it all together, boy, and I study and I read and I do my Hebrew and Greek word studies, and then there are times when, just like you, something gets in the way and you kind of get away from the Word of God farther than you ought to be. And we need to get back to it because it's a living book. And there's times when you read the Word of God and it seems like, boy, you know, it's just not doing anything. But that's when we need to just keep on reading. And if we will do that, and you know what I'm talking about, you will read it the next day or the day after, or it may take 3 or 4 days. And then it's, you know, you start reading and it's like the print jumps off the page and just wants to glue itself right to your brain. And it feels so good to read and then read on and to read more in those days. There are some books that inform us, and we need those books. Nothing wrong with those. We've got to have those books if we're going to get educated. And there are some other books that can reform us, and that's not a bad thing if that is used in its context, Reformation. But the only book in the world tonight that I know of that can transform us is the supernatural book, the B-I-B-L-E. And one thing I like about the Holy Bible tonight, it is the only book that I know of in this world whose author is always present whenever it's read. Whether it's in church or in my prayer chair in my office laying back there and praying for people and reading the book of Psalms or Genesis or Exodus or John or whatever, I know that the author is always present because you and I as believers are sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. Now our text says this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture, it doesn't say some. There's a difference between S-O-M-E and A-L-L. We all know that, amen? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration comes from the Greek theopneustos. It literally means God breathed. God breathed revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, that's conviction, for correction, that literally means to restore to an upright state. We need to be corrected by the word of God. And instruction in righteousness, that's training in right living, why 17, that the man of God, the born-again believer, may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then I like to go with the scripture, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God were holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this is God's book, not man's book. God inspired and wrote this book. It is God-breathed sovereign information from that city in the sides of the north called the Great Celestial City, a place called heaven. Oh, how privileged we are tonight, and that's what makes this book in our hands supernatural this evening. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if God would have given us his word and not preserved his word? This is 2007. Did God preserve his word? Yes, he did. And I'm not going to make a great big deal out of this, and I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail with this, but I'm just going to say this quick. I've hit on it a couple times this week. And watch out for it, I do not ever want to be a member. I don't believe in this new Bible of the Month club. All right? There's a lot of perversions and translations and all these Bibles coming out to make money. I believe that we need to stick with the good old King James Bible. I believe that's preserved, perfect Word of God in our English language. If you believe that, say amen. And that's what independent, fundamental, autonomous Baptists believe. But God gave us his word, and then, yes, he preserved his word. He preserved it. Well, how do we know? Well, David says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's perfect, complete number. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, David said. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From that generation forever comes right up into 2007. In Proverbs 35 and 6, the writer said, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now listen, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So we don't need to be writing new Bibles. We just need to study and read, and we need to enhance, and we need to understand the one that we already have. We don't need a new Bible. We just need to learn this one. 66-book library between two black covers. I'll tell you right now, it is an inexhaustible supernatural book. And we'll study it if we took 24 hours a day from now till the rapture or death took place. I want to tell you, we will never, never be able to study and understand and comprehend and get all of this book. It is an inexhaustible book. A man can get up here and preach on John 3:16, 50 million sermons for his whole lifetime, whatever. Inexhaustible book. I like Psalm 119:89. David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God says it's settled. It's inspired. The canon is closed. This is it. Mark 13:31, the Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words won't pass away. A lot of things are going to be gone, one of these things. Sometimes we lose something that's precious to us. Pastor Jacob was talking about that this week. And when you lose or you can't find something that you, oh, where is that? Then, I mean, it's gone. We went to visit the Statue of Liberty, and I think he had a, what do you call that knife, a Boy Scout knife? Boy Scout knife in his pocket that he got at a yard sale or something. I forgot he had it with him, and oh, my soul, they didn't frisk us once over there. We had to take not everything off, but we had to take a lot of things off, and you know, our belt, and the wallet, and the watch, and, you know, cell phone, whatever you have, and you take your coat off, and all this stuff, and we had to go through that twice over there. And he forgot about that knife. They said, oh, no, bad boy. And they put it in the thing. He said, you're not getting that back. So that was gone. And sometimes we lose things. Sometimes things are taken away. And sometimes we can't find things and we get all shook up. But you know what? God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never, ever pass away. It's always going to be there. And one day I think we're going to see it open in heaven. By thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. We're going to know and see the Word of God. And of course, Jesus Christ, he's called the Word of God. And the written Word reveals the living Word. And the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, reveals the written Word. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So thank God tonight that he preserved his wonderful, wonderful word. Folks, when we consider the fact that 40 different writers, from kings to plowmen, scattered over a period of more than 1,600 years, and there was never a time when they had a conference on what they were writing about or the subject they were discussing, and it is written in three different languages, and yet when we bring it together and we have it, we have a completed whole, a unity, without one single error or contradiction. We must concede that this book that we hold tonight is a supernatural book. Man could not produce such a book as the Holy Bible if he had 30 lifetimes in which to do it. And when God wrote the Bible for us, he didn't leave anybody out. It's for the rich, it's for the poor, it's for the educated, it's for the ignorant, it's for the PhD as well as the plumber, it is for the doctor as well as the derelict, the bum, the banker, the farmer, the pharmacist. If you've got fingers tonight, you've got a gold mine at your fingertips. We may be small in number tonight, but God is right here meeting with us via his word and via the Holy Spirit to open it up for us. Here's the man standing behind the holy desk. Not once will we ever read these are the thoughts or the theories or the philosophies or the opinions of someone, but thus saith the Lord. This book, this amazing, amazing supernatural book is never, ever outdated. In fact, it's constantly renewing its youth. This book is more up to date than yesterday's newspaper. Far from being obsolete, it is absolutely amazing in its content. You've heard me say it once, maybe twice. I don't remember this week, but I'm going to say it again tonight. Maybe there's somebody that missed it, and I'm just going to say it anyway because I love to hear it myself. There's 810,697 words in this King James Bible. There are 3,568,489 letters. There are 31,175 verses and 1,189 chapters. And every chapter, every verse, every letter that make up every word from Genesis to Revelation is from Almighty God. And it is inerrant, it is authoritative, it is inspired, it is binding, it is sufficient, and it is all that we need to make it through this life to the next. If we tried to go to here tonight, to Frewsburg, New York, if you tried, I know basically how to get there. Well, I'm not so sure from Garfield, New Jersey. I've never driven that. But if you tried to go to California tonight, if you tried to go to Florida tonight, if you tried to go to Alaska tonight in your car or a private plane or a chopper, dear brother, a helicopter. But if you didn't have a Rand McNally, if you didn't have some kind of a road map, you would be in big trouble. And if we, as born-again believers, do not have some kind of a roadmap laid out to show us how to get through this life, we are in big trouble. But God gave us a book. And God gave us a place to come to hear the book preached. Amen? There was nobody tonight, absolutely no one, that stood out on the steps in front of those doors with some kind of .30-06s or .357 Magnum pistols or shotguns saying, "We're confiscating King James Bibles. You cannot freely go into worship tonight. Either leave or we're going to take you to jail." Oh, the liberties and the freedoms that we have in this country. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things wrong with America, but there's still a whole lot of things that are not wrong in America. And the day may come when we will not be able to have a Bible. And the day may come when we'll look back and say, "I remember when we took it for granted. The doors were open, the lights were on. We looked at that beautiful old tin ceiling that was painted so beautiful, and the chandeliers, and it was warm, and we could sing together. We had Danielle on the keyboard and the piano and people singing, and we had fellowship and the beautiful painting here on the baptistry, the artist that you have in your church, and all these things. And oh, Lord, did we take it for granted? Because now we've got to go underground somewhere to hear Pastor Janky still teach the Word of God. This book is our roadmap through life. It not only tells us how to live, but thank God it tells us how to die. Oh my. And it reveals Jesus Christ, the hook to hang your life on. Amen. You can stake the welfare of your eternal soul on this grand old book. I have a little saying that I like to use just about every day. Sometimes I forget it, but sometime during the day, maybe once or twice, I'll be around the house or in the car or something. We'll be driving, and I'll just look over Susie, and I'll say, "Mental flossing in God's Word daily prevents truth decay." Try that on your dentist, amen? Next time you come, you'll pull your teeth without giving you any Novocaine, amen? But it's true. Mental flossing in God's Word daily prevents truth decay. And there is such a thing as absolute truth that is in this book. And my challenge to you tonight for the rest of this sermon is, number one, we need to read the Word of God because God has commanded us to read His Word. And at the expense of being somewhat repetitious, I'm going to remind you again that the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the more we hear it, the more we hear Pastor Jakey teach the Word of God. When we come out to a Bible conference like this and hear the evangelist teach and preach the Word of God, then that means we're going to leave with more faith than when we came in. Some of you, it wasn't a real easy thing to get here tonight. Some of you are not in the greatest health that some people are in the world. Some of us are no spring chickens anymore, and it's hard to get to the house of God. But you made the effort to get here, and I'll tell you what, God's going to bless you because you came. God blesses people that will just say, "I'm going to go to God's house. I ought to go, and I'm going to go, and I'm just going to do it. By act of the volitional will, I ought to do it, I'm going to do it." A preacher in the 1800s, his name is Frederick W. Robertson, he said this, I love this, quote, "Let a man begin with an earnest I ought, and if he perseveres by God's grace, he will end in the free blessedness of I will. Let him force himself to abound in small acts of duty, and he will, by and by, find them the joyous habit of his soul." I really ought to go to church every time the doors are open and Pastor Jakey has wept over his sermons and prayed and worked so hard and gets up there to teach and to preach and the Sunday school teachers and all that. I really ought to go. But there's about 2 inches of snow out there, and a couple inches of snow will scare 1.5 million Baptists down to stay in the home, lock the doors. There's 2 inches of snow out there. Yeah, but you try to go out and get a bag of potato chips or Pepsi or something, huh? Oh, it's only 2 inches of snow out there. Oh, no, we're out of coffee, honey. There's a blizzard. They said, you know, advisory is to, you know, they got policemen out there. You don't get in your car and even start it up, say nothing, try to back out of the driveway. But my coffee! What about but my church? The heat bill that we pay is running tonight. The electric bill, the lights are on. And what is more, there are nice warm pews. And there's a man of God that is there tonight that has worked and prepared himself. And there's a message that's going to change our lives. 42, one of the Psalms again. Oh, Lord, fill us with this. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That deer wants a drink of water. She's been running and she's tired. She's a water brook. She pants after that. She brays. Oh, the water brook. There it is. She's feasting upon that water. Oh, we've got living water tonight. What is it? Matthew 5, 6, Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, it's going to cost us something to get the filling of the Holy Spirit of God and to get the power of God in our lives. But if you make the determination of I ought, and then put it into I will, and you come out of the house of God, God is going to bless you, and your life is going to be changed, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So very, very important that we come out to church when the doors are open. I haven't quoted this all week, and I hesitate because of time to go on here, but I think God wants me to quote it. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, the Apostle Paul said this: let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I preached the other night on Operation Evacuation, and it's getting closer and closer every day. And as we see the signs of the times, he says, you need to be coming to church more and more and more and more, not less and less and less and less. It's the church that is God's. It's not just an organization. It's a living organism. This is the body of Christ. And the church is not the tin and the brick and the stone and the stained glass windows, as beautiful as this old church is. It is one of the most beautiful churches I've ever been in my life. The church is right here, you and I. We are the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't indwell and live in the grain of this wood and in the elements of this tin or in the light bulb. He lives right in this temple, right in this building. We are the ecclesia of the called out ones. We are the church of the living God. But we need to be in a building with a pastor, because that is called the local called out assembly. That is the local church. And God has ordained the local church. And all ministry ought to be an outreach from the local church. I really believe that. Half the churches in the world are getting it all messed up at all. And they wonder why people are being confused. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, Paul says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. So God gave us a church so that you could come, and your pastor is a preacher, and he is also a teacher, and every time you come, you get just another few golden nuggets to add to what he's already given you. I thought about this afternoon. I wrote it on my notes. It just kind of came out of the air, but it's true. Sin will keep you from this church, or this church will keep you from sin. What do you prefer? We need the church like never before. Well, all the church wants is my money, not this church. I know enough about that pastor right there that I've known for decades. to know where his heart out. He would give his everything he had, so would his dear wife. I know these folks, and you know them, don't you? And they would give everything they have, and they would give their lives if it came to it. But it does take money to run the church, of course. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We need to cultivate a desire for the word of God. It gives a jump off the page and you get something and you say, boy, you know, I'm glad I came on Sunday morning. I'm glad I came for part two on Sunday night. Oh, that sermon, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Aren't you glad you came to hear that? Those messages? Anybody raise a hand and say, I wish I'd have stayed home. Boy, they sure put a damper on my walk this week. Don't raise your hand. I'll zip a card somewhere quick and call the cell phone and get the cops on you. Amen. Spit out my prayer list that I get a cell phone tonight. It's unreal. Luke 24:32, the disciples. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, Jesus, and while he opened to us the scriptures? My question to you tonight, and one of these days I told my wife, this isn't the one, but I'm going to write a whole sermon called, Do You Have Heartburn? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? He's still doing that, even though he's not here in person. Do you have the good kind of spiritual heartburn tonight? I'm not, what is it, that purple pill, is it Nexium? I'm not talking about the purple pill. I'm not talking about acid reflux. I'm talking about adding God's word and reading it to our daily schedule. I'm talking about the gospel. And that is an original. I got that from Lester Olaf. He's the Jesus too. Praise the Lord for him. So why do you do things like that, Brother Mizell? Look up, Brother Wag. I'm singing your song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus Tonight. I love you, Brother. God bless you. Because Hebrews says there's a great cloud of witnesses that are edging us on. You can make it. I made it, and I'm home with Jesus. And you can do it. Read Hebrews sometime. We'll have time to get into quoting that tonight, or we'll have a double or a triple header, okay? Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. One that has been called, sovereignly called, predestinated, and elected, and eternally saved forever and ever, found without tasting the word of God every day. Oh, God, forbid it. Forbid it. Forbid it in our lives. Forbid it. It is sin and it is wrong. Forgive me for not studying harder and working harder for this very meeting. Forgive me for doubting that I would have the power of God tonight when there's always power, whether it's a hellfire and brimstone preacher, a guy with a red face with veins popping on his neck, or somebody that comes up that is kind of a low monotone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're preaching and teaching the word of God. You can always get what you want to get from it if it's really a man of God. We don't come to entertain. We don't come to build notoriety and personal prestige. We come as preachers to give what is inside of us, what is in our hearts, out to the people in the pews. David said in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He had a Hershey bar tonight and said, I've never had a Hershey bar before in my life. Well, what did you like one? No, I don't like Hershey bars. How do you know you never had one? Well, it doesn't look very good. They're kind of dark and what is it? Chocolate? Yes. Well, you have just one bite. All right, give me a bite. Whoa, baby. Okay? Amen? My wife loves chocolate, so if she was here tonight, she'd be amen in that. You see, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you get a taste of the word of God, and you get a little bit of more of the word of God, and you finally resign yourself, and you give yourself totally, completely over to the Lord and his work, and you sacrifice, and you realize, you know what? I thought I was going to lose everything. And now that I'm sacrificing everything I have for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm getting joy and the peace that passes all understanding, and I'm happier than I ever was before. A little that a righteous man has is better than great riches, you know, without holy content. Job 23:12. Oh, I like this. Good old suffering Job. My, oh my, what a man of God. He says, quote, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Paraphrase it, Brother Mizell. I can go without food for several meals a day, but I can't go without my spiritual breakfast, my spiritual dinner, my spiritual meal in the afternoon, and then a spiritual snack before I go to bed, and maybe a little spiritual milk and a spiritual cookie when I get up in the middle of the night to go you know where and back. Amen? I have it. Psalm 119, 105, 105. David says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We'll walk in darkness without this book. Psalm 119, 130. The writer says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We're really just simple-minded people. And we need the light and we need the entrance of the word of God. I'll walk around, or I'll be driving my 94 Intrepid down the road, 170,000 miles. My wife and I praising the Lord, hoping nothing goes wrong this time to town, you know, to go into Jamestown, 12 miles away to get groceries. And all of a sudden, she's used to it now. She used to say, boom, you know, scare. All of a sudden, I'll just ride along and I'll say, oh, praise God. God, Psalm 19:7 through 11. Honey, I just thought of it again. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enlightening the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I messed that up. More to be desired are they, the scriptures, than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then David says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 19:7-11. And there is great reward when you read the word of God. Now, quickly, we need also to remember the word of God. We need to get familiar with it. We need to do what it says. Psalm 119:49-50, David said, remember the words unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He says, when I am afflicted, your word comforts me. It makes me alive. So here he wasn't talking to himself, as he did so much in the Psalms, but he talked to the Father. He was saying, God, remember your promises to me. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He says, it quickens me. A couple of months ago here, I guess maybe not quite, I memorized Psalm 77:11-13. You're going to love this. Listen, talking about remembering the word of God. David says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Isn't that something? His way is in the sanctuary. There's the local church again, as we would apply it to us today from the Psalms. Oh, my friends, it's amazing and it's wonderful that we can have God's word and we can read God's word and we can hide it in our heart and we can have it. But Jesus gave us something that we ought to really think about tonight. And he warned us in Matthew 7:24-27. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why did it fall? Because it was built not on a good foundation, but a house built on sinking sand. And sinking sand will let a house down sooner or later every single time. Unless you build your Christian life on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you build your family on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we build our nation once again on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will come to sinking sand, and we will be sinking, and we're going to sink awful, awful deep. And the moral decadence in our land is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If we don't get back to the book, you can have all of the State of the Union addresses every night of the week, 365 days a year, and nothing good will happen in this country. You take prayers out of the schools. I'm not even going to go there because, no, I'm just not going to do it. For the young people here tonight, we don't have a whole lot of what I call young people here, teenagers. I don't think I see, well, yes, we have. How old are you, son? This verse is just for you tonight because you were kind of hid behind that guy. Is it Sal? I'm learning. I'm just going home. I'm learning your name, Sal. He's kind of, you know, he's, but it's okay as it's birthday. If he wants to block the view of a little kid, that's okay, okay? But this is just for you, son. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember this. The writer says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. My precious good-looking little boy with the dark hair, serve Jesus now while you're young. Give him your life now. Don't say, I want to sow my wild oats and I want to do things that other wicked kids are doing because it looks like fun. The devil is a dirty, filthy, rotten liar. He wants to rob you of your decency, rape you of your morals. He wants to get at you, and with the neon lights and all the beer signs and the drug signs and the cigarettes and the cigars and the prostitutes and the whores and the homosexuals and the lesbians and the rock and roll music. I live that lifestyle. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But listen, don't wait and say, I'll serve God when I get old, because then you will look back and you will say, my whole life could have been used up for Jesus and I wasted it. But you won't be able to go back. This whole service tonight is worth it. Just for Ephesians 12:1, that little boy right there. Whole service is worth that right there. Wasn't planned. Almost skipped that verse. And birthday say, I'll move just a little bit, and boom, I'll pop this little head, amen. He's my buddy. He's my buddy. You know, Brother Sal, I haven't known him long, and Brother John, I feel like we've known each other forever. That's the bond of the blood. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You're now, that you've seen my face, are you still glad you're related to me? I talked about apostasy the other night. We'll go quickly now. And in this present age of apostasy, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Read the Word of God. Remember the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify, set the Lord apart in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Some people are asking questions out there. They really are. And we need to know the Word of God good enough to give them some answers. Listen to this. Got this several years ago. Haven't used it in a long time. The American Banking Association once sponsored a two-week training program to help bank tellers detect counterfeit bills. The program was unique by virtue of the fact that not one single time during the two-week training period did the tellers even look at counterfeit bills, nor did they listen to any lectures concerning the characteristics of counterfeit money. All they did for 2 weeks was handle authentic currency hour after hour, day after day, week after week for two whole weeks until they were so familiar with the true that they could not possibly be fooled by anything false. Well, that's the correct approach in spotting counterfeit communicators, as we learned the other night. And We need to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, until we are so familiar with it that we could not possibly be fooled by counterfeit doctrines that are popping up all over the world. This is it right here. This is the real McCoy. And you get familiar with it like those bank tellers. They could just feel that, uh-oh, something wrong with that one. Then they take it to their head-ups, you know, and they would say, you got it. We put that counterfeit bill in there so you would know it. They can feel it. And when you get in this Word of God, sooner or later, you begin to just have a feel for it. And you got your own special Bible, you know, with the pink here and the purple here and the green here, and you get another Bible in your hand, you can't find verses. That's good. Mark your Bible. Put different colors in there. Highlight it. Cross-reference it. Draw circles. Write over words. Anything that can help you remember. I do a lot of memory by association because, believe it or not, I have my short-term memory is really not good. And most people that hear me quote scripture and they say, oh, Brother Mizell, you got to be kidding. No, I have a real problem with a certain part of my brain with memory. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. And that's natural to an extent, you know, just old age for some of us, amen. But to quote the scriptures, and I work very hard at it, but I was talking to Brother Janky about this. I just believe that God does something special for me when I use the Word of God. I just think He blesses it. I have had people, and I just want to say this wasn't planned. I have had people all over this country they come up to me after a service and they say, Brother Mizell, do you know that you can be sitting down there and your head can be jerking, you can be having problems with your arms and legs and whatever, and even sometimes when you're sitting here waiting to be introduced, and once you open that Bible in your notes and you start that sermon, that it seems like that Tourette syndrome just takes a vacation. And I say, so many of people have told me that through the years. It's not always that way, but I've had some pretty hard times when my head jerked so bad I could not even see the print on my notes or the Bible. Had to just speak pretty much from memory. I didn't like those few times. But you see, I have to give the honor and the glory to God because He's able to do something like that. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So read the Word of God in 2007. Remember the Word of God in 2007. And then quickly, last but not least, reiterate the Word in 2007 or recite it. 2 Peter 1:12, Peter said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He was going to die and go on to be with the Lord. The Lord told him what death he was going to die. He said, after my departure, after my decease, I don't want you to forget the things that you're grounded in that you already know. Wait a minute. You're already grounded. You're already established. And he's saying, don't forget the things that you already know. We need that because we know things, but we forget them. That's why Pastor Jakey gets up many times from different places, nooks and crannies, the New Testament books in the Word of God, and preaches many of sermons on the same topics every so often, because we need to hear it over and over and over and over again from a different book, a different place, a different voice. But we need it, and we need it, and we need it, and we need it. We come to the church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and on Wednesday, the world has got us the rest of the week. Some of you guys work in factories and all this pounding rock and roll, rap music and going out all the time. And you come home and it's pounded in your heads and you try to read your Bible. Boy, we come to church and, oh man, it's like a haven of rest. It's not easy. We must study the Word of God. This was not written just for preachers. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, Paul says, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word of God. And then memorize the Word of God. I talked a little bit about that this week. If you'd like to know my system, the 25-5 system of Scripture memorization and review, get my address from Brother Janky. Write me a letter. I will send it to you. It is in print. You can do the same thing that I do. Psalm 119:11 says, in the words of David the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." One of the reasons that I hide God's word in my heart and memorize it in my brain is so I can quote it, so I don't sin against the Lord with my flesh. And then two, so I can come and spend a whole lot less time with my particular style, instead of turning here and turning there and going here and going there. And I know that that's the way most preachers do it, and that's fine, that's wonderful. God didn't say there's any particular way to, you know, there's certain rules on preaching, but I just decided a long time ago when I was challenged to memorize the Word, I said, you know, I'll say this, 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 and this, and then I'll just take my 66 route. I'll say, Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son, and then quote 1 Scripture, 2 Scripture, 3 Scripture, 4 Scripture, 5 Scripture, 6 Scripture. God can say it a whole lot better than I can, and in every Scripture I quote, there goes the power of that bullet across to hit somebody sitting in the pew. Amen? Oh, there was a poll that was taken quite some time ago. I don't know what it would show now. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, the poll showed that 80% of professing born-again believers never open their Bibles from Sunday to the following Saturday night. That means 20% of us read our Bibles every day, hopefully. And we wonder why we haven't got a heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival that's storming across our nation. We wonder why we fall into temptation, why we have no real joy and no real peace. It's because many of us as believers are not really living our Christianity. We're not living, we're only existing. We are saved and we are sure, but we don't have all the golden nuggets and the goodies that we can get because we don't take time and sacrifice to open this supernatural book. And I say shame on us tonight. Shame on us, shame. Close early tonight. This is the shortest sermon I will have preached, I think. Okay? This is it. Listen. I found this somewhere about a month ago, and it happened to be typed on my laptop in my notes today, so here goes. The last name of the guy who wrote this was N-Y-G-R-E-N. I think that's Nygren. I'm not sure. Nygren. But boy, whoever he is, he's got it right. Now listen to this. He says, quote, "If all the neglected Bibles were dusted simultaneously, we would have a record dust storm and the sun would go into eclipse for a whole week." Now the next time I come, you hear that again, say, yeah, he went home and memorized it. I might just do that. I'll close with this tonight. A young Christian was packing his bag for a journey, and said to a friend, "I've nearly finished packing my bag. All I have to do is put in two more things." His friend looked at him, and what's he got to put in there? He says, "I just need to put in a guidebook, a lamp, a mirror, a microscope, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a few biographies, a package of old letters, a book of songs, a sword, a hammer, and a set of tools." "But you can't put all that into that bag," objected his friend. He said, "Oh, yes." And this little Christian, "Oh, yes," he says. "Here it is." And he placed the Bible in the corner of the suitcase and closed the lid. Think about that for a while. We think we've got it all together sometimes. 60 seconds and we will have Pastor Jenkins come. We think we have it all together, but we really don't. And I think for 2007, we need to take another look at what's been preached and what's been taught this week by the grace of God. Coming in on that silver bird to JFK, I thought about old Cassius Clay. The old boxer changed his name to Muhammad Ali. On the CBS News the other night, Katie Couric said, "Can you believe?" And they showed a picture of him trembling with, of course, his disease. And it said that, Muhammad Ali, the former Cassius Clay, he's now turned 65 years old. And then something like, where does time go? Muhammad Ali, this is true, was on a plane one time, flying through the air like I came into the airport. And the stewardess came along and she noticed, not who he was, but he didn't have a seatbelt on. She leaned over and she said, "Sir, because of safety regulations, you have to fasten your seatbelt." Now, you remember old cocky Muhammad Ali. He looked back at the stewardess. He said, "Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." She said, "Superman doesn't need a plane either. Please fasten your seatbelt." So he looked at her and he fastened his seatbelt. Our seatbelt is the B-I-B-L-E, and without it, unless we read it, memorize it, reiterate it, unless we use it to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God to get ready for operation evacuation, we are going to be spiritual accidents looking for a place to happen. Let's get back to the supernatural book. Our Father, tonight we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for the cooperation and the patience, the love and kindness of these dear people this week. Bless every one of them that has come to a service, and especially those who took the time and the sacrifice and really changed some plans to come to more than just one meeting. Oh God, may some real decisions be made tonight. Work in hearts now as Brother Janky comes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Spirit tonight that has been
in the world. But, oh Lord, when you begin to just take someone's vocal cords that's willing to be used of you and to speak your words to their ears, amazing and wonderful things can happen. God, I pray that folks will come tonight to pray about things in their life, like their prayer life, because it probably needs to be tuned up. Some need to come tonight and say, "Lord, you gave your life on Calvary and took my hell that I might have your heaven, and I can only show up once on Sunday, and I'm going to start coming to church every time the doors are open, because it's sin to stay home." Father, some need to come tonight and talk to you about sin in their lives. And some may need to come tonight for the first time, say, "I want somebody, Pastor Janky, Brother Mizell, one of the church men, a lady, to take a Bible, sit down in one of the back rooms in private with me, or in the front pew or whatever, and open it up and just show me what must I do to be saved." Oh God, it's so simple, the world is missing it. And I pray somebody will leave here born again tonight. Father, continue to help us with whatever we're dealing with in our lives right now until you come again to take us home, or death, whichever happens first, to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. In Jesus' fearless name I pray. Amen.